This is Edwin O'Shea. This is commentary on section 0.4 of our text, focusing exclusively on trigonometric functions. So, moving right on to page 51 and 52, you'll notice that it opens by talking about angles. In particular, it's talking about angles not in terms of degrees, which is the way you might be used to thinking of them, but thinking about them in terms of radians. And a radian is nothing more than the sweep made by a given angle on the unit circle. So if you look at these three pictures on the top of page 52, you'll notice that there's an angle theta that's made. And instead of thinking about that in terms of degrees, you think about it in terms of a sweep, the length of the arc swept by that angle. The length of the arc, sorry, on the unit circle swept by that angle. Now you'll notice, of course, that a unit circle has circumference twice pi. That's a classical old result that we take for granted, like many things in this class. So the angle theta is the portion of 2 pi that the angle sweeps up of that unit circle. Going slightly below to the next figure on the page, you'll see some kind of standard examples of radians. So for example, looking at the rightmost picture of the three circles marked with angles and radians, you'll see pi over 6, pi over 3, etc. That's 30 degrees and 60 degrees respectively. In the leftmost picture, you see pi over 2, pi, 3 pi over 2, and 0, etc. So this is just really emphasizing, again, angles kill degrees. New paradigm is in terms of radians. Now next on to definition 25. And this is motivating very carefully where these trigonometric functions of sine, cosine, etc. come from. And what it really comes down to is that, again, you look at the sweep of the angle theta, it's going to make out a point on the unit circle, the point, let's call it x, y, and we call the x-coordinate of this point on the unit circle swept by the angle theta, we call that x-coordinate cosine of theta. And this is going to be our definition. And we call the y-coordinate sine of theta. And then using this, we go on to define tan of theta to be, you know, the y-coordinate over the x-coordinate on this unit circle, and likewise for the other trigonometric functions. Now, I just want to maybe point out one thing about the tan of theta, that there's another nice way to think about it. That if it's the y-coordinate over the x-coordinate, then that's really just like the rise over the run. And so tan theta is just nothing more than the slope of the terminal edge formed by the angle theta. So that's kind of a nice thing to be able to see. You can think of tan alternatively as this, you know, as the slope of a line that meets the x-axis with angle theta. Now, as for the basic trigonometric identities, looking at the first one, well, since cosine and sine theta are just points on the unit circle, well, the points on the unit circle satisfy the identity x squared plus y squared equal to 1. So in turn, it must be that cosine squared theta plus sine squared theta is equal to 1. The notation here is a tiny bit odd, isn't it? Because it says sine to the 2, and then the x comes afterwards. But that's just shorthand for the sine of x all squared. You shouldn't think of it as sine times sine or anything like that. Remember, sine is a function. It's not some constant word. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense to just take sine and just, you know, like sine and just multiply it by itself. What it's really saying is that the sine of x, and that's all squared. So it's really a composition of functions. But this is the shorthand that we've delivered. Another identity, like the sine of negative theta equal to negative sine theta, the first of the so-called even-odd identities, that's saying nothing more that the y-coordinate made by negative theta is just equal to the negative of the y-coordinate made by positive theta. Recalling, of course, that the sine of an angle is just the y-coordinate made by the sweep of the angle theta. We're going to assume for now the sum and difference identities. Things like sine of alpha plus beta equals sine alpha cosine beta plus sine beta cosine alpha. That's a mouthful. But note that you can prove an identity like sine of 2 theta equal to twice sine theta by cosine theta. You can prove that by letting alpha and beta both equal to theta in the sine of alpha plus beta formula. So that's kind of a nice thing. Now moving on to the top of page 54, you're going to see these six pictures, right? Now this is a touch confusing because so far we have always called the input for the trigonometric functions as theta. But now we're kind of changing the terms a little bit, aren't we? We're now calling the input x and the output y. So forgive that slight abuse of notation there. But one of the main advantages of using radians rather than degrees is that we could actually plot these functions. And what I mean by that is that if you're talking in terms of radians, your domain for sine and cosine and all the other functions is really now just the real numbers. Because remember, radians measure a sweep of the angle, you know, the sweep made by an angle and how that sweep manifests itself on the unit circle. So it's because of talking about angles in terms of radians that we even get to draw these graphs. Now, let's make an observation, say, for example, about the sine function. Well, thinking about sine function as the second coordinate on the unit circle, remember that's how we defined it, the second coordinate just bobs up and down between minus 1 and 1. Namely, that's just the height of any point on the unit circle. And so it stands that what we should see when we graph the sine of x is just something that bobs up and down between minus 1 and 1. And note that something else, that the graph of sine of x repeats itself after every 2 pi, doesn't it? Namely, the graph from 0 to 2 pi is the same as the graph from 2 pi to 4 pi, is the same as the graph from minus 2 pi to 0, etc., etc. And that's just because every time we sweep 2 pi radians, we kind of get back to where we started again, thinking in terms of the unit circle. Note also that if you look at the tan of x, you'll see, let's recall that the tan of x is the second coordinate divided by the first coordinate on the unit circle. And that's not defined if that first coordinate equals 0. And that, of course, happens, the first coordinate equals 0 on the unit circle, exactly when you're at pi over 2 radians, and 3 pi over 2 radians, and minus pi over 2 radians, etc., etc. So that's why we get these asymptotes, right? It's because tan is just not defined. Now, last but not least, let's move on to inverse trigonometric functions. Now, this is very similar to the discussion we had in class about f of x equal to x squared. In order to define f of x equal to x squared, we had to carefully define what the domain of f of x equal to x squared was in order to ensure that it would be a one-to-one function. And we're doing much the same thing here, right? We want... what we want is that we want to take an excerpt of the sine of x such that it will pass the horizontal line test, namely that it'll be 1-to-1. So if we restrict the sine of x to the domain minus pi over 2 to pi over 2, inclusive of both values, we see that indeed we get a 1-to-1 function. So now we can define the inverse. And we call that inverse, the inverse sine function. We denote it by the sine inverse of x. Now, this can be kind of confusing. When we say the sine inverse of x, we don't mean 1 over the sine of x. We really mean the inverse of the sine of x. Sometimes this is called the arc sine, just to avoid this confusion. And that's what we'll do as well in class. We'll call it arc sine. That's part A of definition 27. And it's just the inverse of this restriction. Notice that if we restrict the domain, all of a sudden, we get to define the inverse functions. And likewise, for tan and secant, we call these arctan, arcsecant. And it's not written down here, but we also have the rule, of course, for arc, cosine, and all those other functions. So that's something to watch out for. On the next page, of course, we see the graphs of arcsine of x and the other such functions. And notice, of course, that these graphs are just the reflection around the line y equal to x, just as you'd expect. Okay, going through the examples, you can read through those carefully. The one example that I want to point out maybe more than any other is example 4. It's a composition of two trigonometric functions, a trigonometric and an inverse trigonometric function. And it claims that you can write it as an algebraic function. So in this case, it's cosine of the arcsine of x. And again, all this is doing here is just asking you to be cognizant of what sine and cosine are. Remember, they are nothing more than the first and second coordinates on the unit circle. And it's taking advantage of that. Of course, looking at the figure, because you're on the unit circle, the hypotenuse has to be of length 1. If you fix the so let's look at this picture a little bit more carefully. In the triangle, it's calling one of the two short sides x. And that comes from, if you've the arcsine of x, you're asking for an angle theta such that the sine of that angle is x. The sine of that angle theta is x. So that's really what arcsine of x is, right? You're saying, look, I know it's got to be something, so let's call it theta. So if the sine of this theta is x, it means the opposite over the hypotenuse must be x. But of course, opposite over hypotenuse would then have to be x over 1. And then that tells you by the Pythagorean theorem what the third side of that triangle is. It must be the square root of 1 minus x squared. But once you have that, then you can go on to find the cosine of the angle theta, recalling, of course, that theta is the arcsine of x. Now, that's a little bit quick there, right? But read that example. It's well worth the read and well worth going through it slowly. All right, we have some exercises as well. Trying to see if there's anyone that particularly stands out. Forgive me here for being slow. 23, for example, is asking which of the following expressions are defined. So it's asking for, you have some inverse trigonometric function, and it's asking for if the input here that you're handed, if that's a valid input. That's what that question is asking. It might catch you off guard, but that's what it's asking. Let me see some other questions. We have things like, okay, sorry for not pausing. I haven't figured out how to pause this audio recording yet. So forgive me if it sounds clunky. Oh yeah, 51 and 54 are nice questions as well. Note that it tells you what cosine theta is, and then it's asking you to look back at the trigonometric identities. You could tell from the trigonometric identities what these other quantities are. So you've given the cosine of the angle and the sine of the angle. And you're also told... Oh no, sorry, you're just told that the sine of theta is greater than 0, right? Just told the sine of theta is greater than 0. Those are nice questions. And then note that you also have questions 57 through 60. 57 through 60, remember I just mentioned about example 4 and paying careful attention to that? Well, when you're going through 57 and 60, again, pay very careful attention to example 4. And then finally, 96 is just a nice problem. It asks you to go back to these trigonometric identities and try and derive them just from that first Pythagorean identity. All right, folks, I'll stop at that. See you in class.